sorry.
Rick, the enemy of the state bit made me shoot milk out of my nose onto the computer screen.
There you go. That's fantastic.
That's like when I get people on occasion, they say that we'll do something on the program, usually something relating to Tim, and it'll actually impair their driving skills. I'm hoping that one of these days we can actually mortally injure a listener with our humor. Actually, comedy that not only hurts, but comedy that puts your life in danger and your job at risk. Rick, the guy, okay, this is who I thought she was talking about, but it seemed too recent. Chris Angel is the guy that Storm was talking about. And he looks like, ooh, I'm a creepy guy. He looks like Peter Steele from Typo Negative. Great tricks, lame Jersey goth look, says Byrne in Beaverton. It's 503-733-2970. So Rick Emerson Show. In mere moments, my friends, we will go to Tim Riley at the City Desk. Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune is going to be here as well. What else? We're not going to get to this... We're not going to get to this Merle Haggard song that I wanted to play today. Because we played that Bon Jovi song that the You Can't Go Home, that thing that he released that we played last week, with that song with Gretchen Wilson.
Yes.
And Tim made the best observation about that, which is that it sounded like it was created by either some sort of country bot 5000 or like a focus group. But man, you haven't heard a focus group song until you heard this Merle Haggard, Gretchen Wilson song. We'll have to get to it tomorrow. I'm not trying to guarantee. It just sort of works out that way. And I don't try to... See, now every time I walk out of the hallway, all I can smell is the fridge. And whatever weird thawing ass smell is coming out. See, now I don't want to put any food in there. Because then it's like everything... It's like when that Jesse guy brought the placenta that he kept in the freezer, and you start wondering if, like, everything else, like if your baking soda starts to smell like placenta.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, so I've started putting it in the fridge across the way.
Well, because
God... The one that everyone steals everything out of, but I'd rather have my food stolen than smelling like that.
Well, that's the thing, is like, and you don't even bother to label it, because if you start labeling your food, all they know is the thief just develops a taste for who has the best stuff to take. That's all it is. If you label your food at a radio station or any sort of 24-hour business like this, hospital, police station, doesn't matter. If you label your food in the refrigerator, all it is a guide to the thief so he can sort of create a mental triage of what to steal and in what order. Because if I was going to steal food, I'd go for your stuff first. Yeah, I would always steal it, because you got the best stuff to rip off. You don't want to be stealing from some sales guy. You don't know how long that food's been there. Speaking of which, we got this refrigerator out here in the hallway. The reason it smells so bad, by the way, is not that there's some sort of the mechanism that's failing in the cooling area of the refrigerator. It's not any sort of technical glitch. It's just that, like when you get fired, you clean out your desk. You don't ever bother to clean out the refrigerator. So God only knows how long it is. Some of that food has probably been in there since, 8, 9, 10 formats ago. You know, back when this was a country station in 1975 and they were pulling a 50 share. There's probably somebody, a banana half-lifing away in the back shelf from one of those guys.
This station used to have its own orchestra.
We should bring that back.
I think so.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the City Desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting with breaking news. Get ready for a Knight Rider movie.
Yeah!
But it's still too early to say whether David Hasselhoff will appear at all. His name conspicuously absent from today's press release, which trumpeted the news that former Miramax chieftains Harvey and Bob Weinstein struck a deal with the show creator Glenn Larson to write and produce this feature.
All right, here's the thing, and I'm telling you right now, this is how it's got to operate. David Hasselhoff has to be in the Knight Rider film, but he has to be a knight, the guy that heads Knight Industries. I forget his name. It's not Phil Knight. It's not Michael Knight. It's the guy.
Michael Knight.
No. Michael Knight was who David Hasselhoff played.
Oh.
If you really want to impress me, you can tell me his former name before he became Michael Knight, back when he was just a police officer, before he was disfigured.
I don't know.
Bada bing! Michael Long. And then he underwent plastic surgery, became Michael Knight, and he started driving Kit, which was the Knight Industries 2000.
Meanwhile, more than 50 people are in Vegas this week for the 61st Annual National Hardware Show. One of the most popular features is a new garden hose that delivers both hot and cold water.
I wasn't aware there was going to be garden hose sound.
Yes,
there
just is.
One second, that's okay. Sarah, can you turn up my computer? There you go.
So it's great if you want to wash the car with a little bit of warmer water, if you want to fill up the kiddie pool with water that's not icy cold.
What kind of sissy country is this? You fill up the kiddie pool with water that's not icy. Get used to it! I'm sorry, go ahead.
Meanwhile, a job fair is being held for baby boomers, those born between the ages of 1946 and 1964 in Scottsdale. Boomers, this is the company that puts this on, called Boomers, ending with a Z.
Director, oh, with a Z.
With a Z.
Wait, I'm sorry, Tim. It ends with a
Z.
And I just closed the cart machine.
Does that mean we lost all the cut?
Oh, I probably just lost all the cut. You know why?
Because
I was trying to be extra cute and playing the Z sound.
Mm-hmm.
Was trying to... Oh, and all the sound is gone.
Well, I guess that's the end of me then.
Oh.
I can't function without sound bites.
Oh.
What am I supposed to do?
That's so embarrassing.
Well, I guess I'll stand here and read wire copy like most radio stations do during the newscast.
That's all me. That's entire, and it's all because I could say boomers with a what?
Z. And even there was a delay for that.
Oh.
Well, let's read some old-fashioned wire copy, shall we? Tailgating is the biggest cause of road rage on highways. According to a new survey, the problem is so bad that in 2 to 5 cases, motorists react by slowing down or braking sharply to annoy the tailgater, a new survey shows.
I don't even care. It's so difficult to care now because I've just screwed us out of all of our sound.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to save face.
It's not really working.
I should just quit and leave the room.
This is what? What's the biggest cause of something?
Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
All right.
I think it's tailgating.
Is the cause of what?
A road rage.
Well, that's not true. That's it.
What would it be then?
It's not even the thing, even the hearing about it makes me
angry.
We're
all pretending to be interested in this, aren't we? And the public just isn't buying it,
are they? I was going to be interested, but now I can't. I can't because I closed the stupid cart thing with all the sound.
Oh, darn us all the heck.
Well, here, if you want to try to reassemble it, we can do it at the bottom of the hour.
That's all right.
Oh, suddenly your desire to create compelling news is gone. If I can't do it at 2:10, I'm never doing it again.
It's zapped me of all creativity.
My life force has been drained away. All right.
I'll go do boring long stories for NPR and beg for people's money.
All right, why don't you give me that?
Yeah, sure.
Leave this here.
All of it?
Yeah, just leave this here. Story here.
Oh. Well, I'll see you guys later.
Okay.
Bye.
All right,
see you.
See you.
Okay.
Kind of lonely in here.
Jokes lately. You know what that was? That was hubris. Or as Sean Connery said, that's for blasphemy. I was trying to...
I don't think you should be allowed near any of the buttons.
I've been
a firm believer in this since day one.
Who's the monkey now? Because it's like I was trying to make the news better. They were he said boomers with a Z.
That's why I need my shortcut back.
See, because it's boomers with a Z. And I wanted to, you know, I just closed it all. Now I can't play any of it.
Yep.
Well, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. I've lost all motivation for the rest of this program now. I'm just going to leave and Dennis can do this. Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Hey, now remember, back in a past life, I actually took the wheel of this show and drove it right off a cliff one morning. So I don't know if you're quite safe in doing that.
They were all here and then I pressed and then they were gone.
Well, I saw you do it. I was sitting right here and I saw you do it. I don't know what you were doing.
I don't know. And there's like a big button over here that says like exit, close, do not press. And me, I'll press that thing right there. Gone. Everything gone. Nothing. And the CNN guy never called. Did the guy about Barry Bonds even call?
Nope.
I learned all this stuff about Barry Bonds.
I think half of the stuff people were telling you was made up anyway.
How would I even know?
Have you ever seen a picture of that guy from like the beginning of his career? He was skinny like me.
I had to ask if he was black. I have no idea.
He bloated up like some guy that was eating marshmallows. I mean, he just all of a sudden, in a matter of about 4 years, gained 80 pounds of muscle.
Here's what I learned about Barry Bonds today, because I was starting from zero. He plays for the San Francisco Giants in left field. His father is Bobby Bonds. His godfather is Willie Mays. With an S. He's one hit behind tying Babe Ruth's home run record, but there's still some other guy who's ahead of them. Did I mention he plays in San Francisco? He is not a white man, which I thought. Neither is Johnny Mathis, by the way. If you are at home right now and you were thinking about doing your own radio program, it should be noted, Johnny Mathis, totally black. You wouldn't think it.
Why wouldn't you?
You weren't here for that show. Were you here for that show that I went through a whole day thinking that Johnny Mathis was... I was doing, like, the top five whitest musical acts.
I remember Wayne Boggs.
No, I was doing the... I didn't say Wayne. I said Wade. I said Wade. I had a little sinus infection.
Oh, I remember. It was the commercial. Medical hair restoration. Works for a lot of their clients, including baseball legend Wayne Boggs.
We did this whole top five whitest musical acts of all time. And one of the top five, I made, like, number three, Johnny Mathis, who I had never seen a picture of. I'd only heard the music. Johnny Mathis. It's a very...
Hardy.
It's not Hardy. It's a very bland sort of... The guy just sounds like the whitest thing ever. It's terrible. And Tim thought... apparently everybody thought I was being ironic.
Well, maybe that shows how white I am, because I think it's Hardy.
I mean, granola. Metamucil is Hardy. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We read a couple of these emails here. Rick, I know just as much about sports as you do, but this Barry Bonds debacle is fun to watch. I saw a picture on Drudge where a fan threw a hypodermic needle at him when he was walking out of the dugout. Good times. That's fantastic. Rick, dude, this is from Aram. Barry has done so much human growth hormone, you can see the plates in his skull. He looks like a giant throbbing brain a la Doctor Who circa 1986. Gnarly. Ask the CNN dudes about that. I would if only they had called. About Kenny Rogers, if you look close enough, you can see the fishing line connecting the corner of his eyes to his scalp, disappearing right into his hip gray hair. Let's see. What else do we have here? More Kenny Rogers. More stuff about where to find your stolen merchandise.
My God, have you seen Kenny Rogers lately?
We were just talking about him today.
Oh, my God.
No, he's got that thing where it's like if he smiles even a little bit more, his face is just going to crack and fall away like so many Blaine-esque shards of flesh. All right, well, should I take this here, Sarah?
Sure.
did Tim take your motivation, too? I've lost the will to live. I'm leaving the room.
It's some guy about why the red hoods are on the things.
Oh, about the goddamn parking meters?
Yeah.
There's no reason. The only explanation I ever heard. We're talking about those parking meters downtown, and I'm talking about, this is called locality, kids, talking about those parking meters right here in downtown Portland, Oregon, and it's always on the day. It's never when you're early. It's always when you're running behind. It's always when the cat threw up on something, your baby fell out the window onto a spike, your dry cleaning wasn't quite done, your car caught fire when you turned the key, you spilled your mocha right onto your crotch, they're doing construction work, all three bridges are up, and you're running 45 minutes late to a meeting where they're going to decide whether or not to eliminate your position. You get downtown, you're trying to go to the office, and what is it? Row after row of parking meters covered up. No one parked. They're not in use, not currently doing anything. Just with red hoods on the top, meaning you can't park there. For no reason. There's never anybody there. The only explanation I ever heard was that they were there so cops could park there when they had to go to the courthouse and testify against some guy that got caught with a dime bag in his glove box. Learn to walk. I mean, I don't want to stoop to... All I'm saying is, little exercise wouldn't hurt some of our elected officials. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Bruce.
Bruce,
Vancouver.
How can I? What's up in the glorious land of the Couve, Bruce?
The glorious land of the Couve is school's out right now, and there are buses everywhere.
Okay. How can I help you today?
Okay. What I was going to explain to you was that I work construction, and that is part of the reason why they have the red hoods on the parking meters. We go downtown, we pay at the city desk to have them put a red hood on several parking meters so that we can go there at night and work when no one's working in the buildings to fix the sprinkler systems or put in new acoustic tiles or coordinate off the new office area with new cubicles.
Yeah, but they're never just blocked off at night. They're blocked off during the day when I'm just trying
right,
to get to the gap.
They pay for a month or a week's worth of time, so no one can use those parking spots at all, except unless you have a little piece of paper that goes on your dash and the number coordinates with the number on the hood.
Look, I'm telling you, man, and I'm not, again, I don't advocate violence as a solution, but I do I do understand it sometimes. I do understand what drives people to just snap and just going out there swinging
too.
An axe.
Completely.
Look, is this the thing that anybody, could I do that? Could I go to the city and like, just block out a whole block's worth of parking spaces?
Yes, you can go to the city and you can tell them that you want to use that one parking spot. You have to have, I'm pretty sure you have to have a good reason why. I think it's like $45 for a week.
Oh, I am totally doing that.
And you buy the hood, they give you the lock, the key, the hood, and a piece of paper.
Let's clarify.
And you can have your personal parking spot for a week.
Let's clarify that we're talking about Rick Emerson going out and buying a hood. We are only talking about a parking meter. That is
yes,
all we're talking about here.
Yes,
so,
only a parking meter.
So,
a red hood to go over the parking meter.
So I go to the city. And I say, look, you bastards, I want to buy one of these spaces. I buy a space, they give me the hood, the lock, and the whatever, $45?
It's anywhere, but that's for a week's worth of, I believe, it's for a week's worth of use.
And that, now, is this like a prorated thing? Does it matter where the space is? In other words...
Now, you know what, that part of it, I don't know.
Because I wonder if it costs more to block off some spaces, like right in front of the courthouse. Because you know what I'd do?
Sure, it probably would. But,
I would just find out...
parking, however it is, however much that they pay for.
Because I would just be finding out where my enemies parked. I would be finding, I would be making a list of people I don't like. People, maybe they're just complete strangers. People who annoy me, I would find out where they park. And I would just, for time immemorial, I would just be buying those. It's like, here's the thing. I long to be really wealthy someday so I can find people who are paying off their houses, and someday when they're on vacation, I'm going to go to the bank and I'm just going to pay off their mortgage note for them so I own their house, and I'm just going to pave it over and turn it into a parking lot while they're on vacation. Come back home, house gone.
I love the way you think.
Well, I'm just saying. So I wonder who I even talk to about this.
You go down, gosh, I can't remember exactly where, because I am from the Coof, so it is downtown, just up from, the courthouse.
But it's like, it's just, I could probably call the city desk somehow, and they would explain.
You could call the city desk, and they would tell you exactly where to go and who to talk to.
Is this 24 hours a day that I can have access to this?
Yeah, when that hood is on there, no one can park on it at any point in time.
Because it seems like that's even, I mean, it's like, how much is parking? It's like $1 an hour? Something like that?
It's around, yeah.
It's around $1 an hour. It seems like...
It's like $1.25.
It seems like this is, I mean... Correct me if I'm wrong, Sarah, but actually getting monthly parking in one of the garages here is, what, it's like $150? This is only $30 more. It's a brand new space out on the street, and I get to be superior to other people.
Yeah, I looked into it. Yeah, it was like $140.
I am all over this. All right, sir, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, appreciate it. There you go.
I think you're onto something there.
I'm totally going to do that.
I mean, if it's it's $160 to park in a place downtown.
And you know what I'm going to do sometimes? I'm going to go out there during rush hour in this parking space with the red hood that I've leased for $45. I'm going to go out there. I'm just going to take a lawn chair and a book and an umbrella. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to sip fizzy cold drinks in the noonday sun
just
while other people are trying to park. Screw them. Why should construction workers and cops get all the fun?
I'm sure you could find a listener that would hold up a sign that says Rick Emerson parks here.
I wonder if I could sublet it. I wonder if you could do that, like $45 a day. But you go down there like at noon and
at 5. The city makes money off of us. Why don't we make some money off of them?
That's right. F them. I'm going to totally do that, and I'm going to make extra money.
It's only
on
$45 a week.
Oh. Okay, there you go. That's my new money. Screw radio. That's my new money-making scheme. Well, let's take a break here. We'll come back. We will try again in vain to have Tim Riley be enthused about today's events at the City Desk. I guess we're writing off the Barry Bond story because the CNN guy just never appeared. That's okay. That memory, the knowledge is all in my head. It's like a steel trap. It's right here. Next time there's a Barry Bond story, I'll be able to speak knowingly and convincingly about all aspects of his personality and character. Later on, like us at 3, world famous Phil Hendry show at 7. He said there's the Rick Emerson show live from Portland. Don't go anywhere.
Show sucks, rock and roll. They're in the life of a fool, like a 7-4 to live and low. Life, take your time, you'll go. Put the here, not a thing to.
All right, listen to this now. Best idea ever. This is Dan from New Zealand. Listening somehow. iTunes. I don't really understand how people on the internet, iTunes, might be listening. I can't advocate iTunes anybody. I can't promote iTunes, endorse iTunes. Emerson Army. Anyone listening to this program electronically over the internet, myspace.com/EmersonArmy. I wouldn't know anything about that halfway down the right side of RickEmerson.com. It would be wrong for me as a CBS radio employee. Updated every day. Online just minutes after the show goes off the air. To tell you about that. iTunes. Dan from New Zealand says, Rick, listen to this. Listen, my friends. So we have some sort of a... I'm not even going to touch the sound effects machine.
Good move. I have something. Do you want me to just play something random?
Here's what I need.
Right across his posterior.
No. I need a sound that conveys the greatness and the devotion and love and passion and power and brilliance of the Rick Emerson audience.
I've got it.
Go. Thank you, Rick. Your parking space. Here's what you should do. Rent said parking space. Then every day, have listeners stand in the spot advertising your program to passers-by.
Brilliant.
Wearing your Portland effing Oregon shirt. For payment, let them go through the fridge. They can take whatever they want that's rotting and mold-covered. Signed, Dan, in New Zealand. Zealand. It is a time of civil unrest. All right, there you go. That's what I'm talking about right there.
Well, I have a second suggestion.
All right.
Well, every day after the show, as I'm walking to the MAX station, they let everyone out of jail that they're going to let out for the afternoon. And they're all coming down these stairs at the same time, yelling, hallelujah, freedom, and so forth.
Those guys need money.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Fantastic. All right. See, now I am getting from city employees. Listen to that. Listen, all your molds are belong to us. So the city now is, there is nothing the city can know that I cannot also know. We are getting now detailed instructions from city employees who shall remain nameless, who are giving us now the inside application forms for renting out one of these parking spaces with the red hoods for our own personal private use.
Are they the chief's old girlfriends?
What's that? I wouldn't know. All right. More about this as the week goes on. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
McCoy Tower, downtown Portland, Oregon. CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Let's try this again.
I couldn't hear anything you just said.
Why not?
Because it was all very loud.
Oh, but how could you not hear it if it was so loud?
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
You know, I just want to call people at random in the phone book and tell them how great this show is. Mm-hmm. This whole day has just been one unfolding episode of genius after another.
Are you being sarcastic?
I'm not. I want to start calling people in the other building, the KUFO building, and first just calling random salespeople at their desk and just instructing them about the greatness of this program. All right, we going to try the sound again?
We are.
Okay, I'm staying far away from the button that says close. Mm-hmm. All right.
A job fair is being held for the members of the baby boom generation, those born between 1946 and 1964. The name of this group is called Boomers with a Z. And director Cindy Cook says companies are becoming more appreciative of workers in their 40s and 50s.
They talk about boomers' great work ethic. And so they're interested in getting boomers in jobs that they might not have previously thought about them for.
The boomers' great work. I want stuff for free! Please.
By the way, there are 80 million baby boomers, only 60 million Xers.
That's fine.
As the boomers start to retire, companies are getting more and more concerned, more and more interested in keeping boomers on the job, and more interested in attracting new ones for the job.
The boomer. Everything was better when I was growing up. I danced naked in the rain at Woodstock. I stopped a war. What did you ever do? Jesus God, give it a rest. It's like one of those speakings, one of those things where the cow says, you know, one of those?
I'm going to make a speaking play.
And that's not
speaking
a
spell?
No, that's the thing that Elliot had in E.T. That's what I was going to say, too.
No, I don't know.
What is that thing, the round thing where you point the dial and you pull the thing and it goes, the sheep says.
Speaking spell?
It's...
It doesn't have the word speak.
It's Groundhog Day. It's not a speaking spell. Speaking spell is the electronic thing that talks. It has the Stephen Hawking voice. See, I'm trying to make a pop culture illusion, but it's difficult because I don't understand what the thing is called. You know what I want to make, though? You know what people would buy? People would buy a modern sort of white trash version of that thing. Do you know what I mean? Sort of like, the meth user says, and then you pull the thing, and have you got any cans, mister? Come on, that's funny.
It is.
Okay, here's another one. You'd point the arrow... The baby mama says, I need some Similac. Fine, whatever.
There's no response.
That's funny. People would buy that. You start stocking that at that... what is that place on Hawthorne, Sarah? Metro? Where's that place that I bought my belt?
Yeah, that was...
Naked City?
Oh, yeah, that was...
They'd buy that at Naked City. You know what I mean? The hipster says...
Sure.
Wilco was so much better on their first two albums. That's funny.
It would be ironic.
Yes, it would be.
A-holes. Genius.
Time Magazine has honored its 2006 choices for the world's most influential people in New York. Among those on the list is John Leguizamo.
They have to do something that changes the way people think about things. They have to make us look at whatever we looked at normally and now look at it from a different POV, like Stephen Colbert. Do something brave, something outrageous.
These are all the people who didn't go out and watch the guy almost drown in the bubble. They're at this thing last night. From California comes word, the Stanislaus County Public Library of Modesto was forced to cancel a belly dancing class it was scheduled in a move that had some people crying censorship. County CEO Rick Robertson, who called for the cancellation, said the $250 the library would have paid the instructor would not have been money spent wisely.
We have very limited resources in our library system, and we want to make sure that those resources support the underlying objectives of our library system.
All right.
All right. I have one more here.
Okay.
Am I allowed to say this word on the air?
I believe so.
All right, I will then.
Ladies and gentlemen, breaking new ground here on the Rick Emerson Show. Mm-hmm.
This is from our favorite newspaper, the Aftenposten, which is in Norway.
You are allowed to say Aftenposten. Mm-hmm. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Riley.
A 37-year-old man remained in police custody, charged with a violent assault against his ex-girlfriend. He testified that his only weapon was, for lack of a better word, a dildo. The 28-year-old victim remained in the hospital after suffering a concussion, two broken fingers, and several cuts. According to the local newspaper, the Firda, she told police she feared for her life during the assault. The defendant appeared in the court in the scenic western town of Nyaforte on Monday. He said he was sorry for his actions and attempted to downplay the assault. It lasted 10 to 15 minutes. Max, he said. And I didn't hit her with anything other than a dildo.
Okay.
He also suggested the woman may have had bruises before he even started.
It was a soft, rubbery dildo, Your Honor, not the hard plastic kind.
He's been ordered held in jail for another 4 weeks.
15 minutes?
That's not long. Not in Norway.
What the hell does that even mean? Dildo assaults in Norway are known to last days sometimes, Rick. Can I see that story?
Oh, most certainly.
I'm going to file that under things you never thought you'd hear Tim Riley talking about. Mm-hmm. All right, okay. Oh, listen to this. Listen to this, though. It last... Sorry. Testified his only... In his defense, by the way, his only weapon was a dildo. The assault lasted 10 to 15 minutes max, he told the court. I didn't hit her with anything other than the dildo. Listen to this. He also suggested that the woman... couldn't take much because of anorexia. Jesus God.
She couldn't take much?
Apparently she was, you know.
Oh, brittle?
She was all bones like talcum powder.
She was like David Blaine.
Okay.
Made her through another one.
Aftenposten.
Aftenposten.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Dante.
Of course it is. Dante, how can I help you today?
It's a goddamn see and say.
See and say. That's what it is.
Yeah, that,
dude. Now, listen to me. Do you admit that this is a great idea? Dennis had a couple more. Like an adult see and say. And, like, you point the thing and, like, the street whore says, you pay extra for that.
The boomer says, get off my lawn.
Exactly. Exactly. That's, I mean, come on. It's genius.
That's a great idea. I love it.
The convenience store owner said, this is not a library. You buy, you go.
You make the pigs stick together.
You're a bad person.
You don't get away from corn dog. You don't eat, you don't buy.
Okay, thank you, sir. We have to go now.
Yes, bye-bye.
Okay.
I don't even know where to go.
I don't even know where to go. Attention FM DJs, you can have that bit. The adult see and say. I'm yielding that to you. If you are a zany FM DJ somewhere, you can have that bit. That is yours. The adult see and say. There you go.
Very kind of you.
I have to ask about the news story. Did he use the soft, rubbery kind because he thought it wouldn't leave any marks?
I really don't know the answer to that, Dennis.
The rubber hose? you know.
Wasn't a hose, Dennis.
Well, no, but in a sense.
Hoes are usually on the receiving end.
Ha! Ha!
Zing!
Was, yeah, I was going to say.
No, please don't touch the button.
Did you close the
Zing thing?
I'm
not going to touch the thing. All right, do we have to break here?
Yes. Should we have something, another sound that I have over here that we should substitute?
For the Z?
Yeah, or for everything that you can't play.
I don't know. What do we have? Do you have anything that's, do you have anything interesting?
I'm sure I do.
All right, what do we have that we might, thank you. It's the monkey pox.
Oh, God, you smell the, I smell the refrigerator in here.
I think that might just be Dennis.
Oh, hey.
I'm just saying, he's the only thing that's changed about the room in the last 10 minutes.
Hold on.
Composition of the this room has stayed fundamentally the same.
I'm smelling of speed stick and mouthwash.
Okay. What an odd program this has been. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the my car a little bit with Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune. Aren't you glad you come on today?
Did it break again?
Got a whole lot of nothing accomplished.
It's okay. It's kind of like when I listen to you at work.
Yes, thank you. All right, we'll be back after this. It is the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. All right, we now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up tomorrow, we'll play this Merle Haggard, Gretchen Wilson talk, but more importantly, Tim Riley's at the city desk.
A car has crashed into a bank, a Wells Fargo bank, 11760 Southwest Hall in Tigard. One person taken to the hospital, another in custody. That's all we know at this point. Once again, a car has crashed into a bank.
All right, and that's where?
Tigard.
Okay.
11760 Southwest Hall.
Everybody go by and gawk. Everybody go by and clog traffic while the ambulance is trying to get to the hospital.
You know you're curious.
You know, that's how I'm going to die someday. I'm going to be in the ambulance, and there's just going to be a whole bunch of people like me who don't want to move over. Sit there and expire right in the middle of Midtown traffic. All right. It is your Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune. All right. Look, we don't have a lot of time here because we've been doing something or other. So we've been thinking of what the street whore would say on the adult CNC and talking about dildo assaults. My question, Dennis, is, so I got this car, and it just hit the 20K mark.
Yeah.
And I got the light that comes on, and it's just the engine light, just the orange light that says engine.
Yeah.
And so I came in, and I said, I don't even know what this light means. Sarah, who is like the least likely person, because none of us are car people, she immediately comes back with it's just there to ding on to make you pay money at $20,000. And then like all these other people call up, and my whole thing is, it's not that I really trust in my fellow man as such, but it just seems like a little too Clyde Lewis. It just seems a little too perfectly evil.
Did it come on right at $20,000?
Well, not right at, but I mean around.
Well, you know,
I haven't like hit a gazelle or anything or set the car on fire. There's nothing I've done to it.
But no, hoofs sticking out of the grill.
No, I don't know why. I mean,
I, you know, normally it's a simple procedure. That's something that's, you know, you could, as little as not tightening the gas cap when you left the gas station.
Is that true?
Yeah. If it's blinking.
It's not blinking.
Then you have a problem. But if it's not blinking, you don't have a big problem. Right. If it's blinking, then you're in trouble. Then you're, the man is taking your money.
All right. But I mean, is it really, I mean, to the best of your knowledge, is there any sort of thing, sensor, light, button, buzzer, sound, gauge that comes on at a certain mile just so they can, be sticking it to you?
I'm not trying to be ornery, but not in the level of car that you would be purchasing. I mean, I just...
What the hell is that?
Well, I mean, in a $100,000 Mercedes or a BMW or something like that, they have service intervals that come up on a computer.
So my car is point. You don't even need to service my car, is your point.
You're,
my car, use it once, throw it away. My car is a shit quattro.
Well, if there was a world of cars where one would be like a tour bus for a rock star, yours is the little yellow school bus.
Okay.
So I'm
just, short bus.
The short bus.
My car comes with a helmet.
Optional. I'm sure.
And here I was.
It's so fast, I'm sure, Rick.
Yeah, I was going to be promoting your TV show.
I'm
talking about your newspaper column. Those days are gone.
Oh,
that's
okay.
No,
I'm just saying. No, hey, great car. Do people know what you drive? Can I lie?
Yeah, why don't you give up my, here's the hours, he's home alone, kids. No, they don't.
Well, I remember one of your automobiles.
Focus. Everybody knows that. I drive a Ford Focus.
Okay, great little car. They sell a million of them.
A great little car. Imagine, what if you were to say that to a woman? You're a great little gal, but that's what you say right as you're like passing.
You're a great little man, Rick.
Totally, you're passing over to sleep with her hot sister instead. A great little car.
It's a nice automobile.
Mm-hmm.
that is reliable automobile.
Okay. Note that I would never say any of these things about anything you had. I would never refer to your wife that way. What do you think of Brandy? She's very reliable. I would never say that. Because it would be, because saying reliable is, that's a terrible thing to say.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to say? I mean, it's better than riding your bike.
Note that I would never say about a guy's girlfriend, it's better than riding your bike. What a bing.
You use right. both?
No, that's fine.
Really, it's not that big of a deal. Those little cars are pretty impenetrable. They're reliable. You just gotta check it out, see if the gas cap's on. If it's something minor, make sure that, take it to
the dealer. This is the last exchange on the TV show before they cut to me in the parking lot turning the key and then I'm just awash in flames. He said it was, you know. All right. Well, you got a TV show. People don't know about that.
Yeah, we're doing it. We took the programming and what I do for the Portland Tribune and the community newspapers now. There's actually 9 of them that they actually let me put my opinion in. And what we did is we came up with a little gig for Comcast. It's local. It's at the first Saturday of every month.
And it's on CNW 14?
CNW 14 in between the reruns of, Lars Larson and
Sarah and I have done some programming, some work for them.
Actually, to tell you the truth, that's where I caught the idea was the stuff that you do for the poker idea.
Because we're trendsetters and trailblazers, my friend.
And I'm just basically a bad photocopy of you. So what I do is I take that and we just kind of do auto reviews. And we brought Ian, the Weapon Master, in there.
F. Matt Peterson is along
for the ride, if you can believe it.
Good times.
And it's pretty fun.
Catch him in the Portland Tribune, kids. Dennis Pitzenbarger. We want to thank CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. We want to thank CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy and the CNN Barry Bonds guy who never showed up. Thanks for that. Rick Emerson show produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah X Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio News Director Tim Riley. Like us at 3, world famous Bill Henry show at 7. As always, thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Be safe. See you all in 21 hours. Bye.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.